Tonight's shir, Parshas Kisisa. Pasuk says, Zeid nu kol over al apkudim machatzisa shekel b'shekel hakodesh. Everybody had to give machatzisa shekel of the shekel hakodesh. Esrim gerah shekel, machatzisa shekel, trima l'shem. So Chazal tell us, Gemara Bechoros, that this shekel hakodesh was in double the value of a regular shekel. So it ended up that they gave half of a double shekel, which is a regular shekel. So the question is asked, so why do it in such a manner? Instead of saying give half of a double shekel, which ends up being a regular, they should have just said give a regular shekel. Why say machatzisa shekel b'shekel hakodesh, a double shekel, give half a double, just give a regular one, it comes out to the same. So Dor HaChaim HaKadosh says, it's coming to be meramis something, that somebody who is not osik in Torah and wants to mechaper on himself, so what does he do? He finds himself a partner, like Yisachar and Zvulun. Partner learns Torah, and then they share in the schar. So one might think, so they're going to share in the schar, so this Yisachar, who's learning Torah all day, he's only going to get half of his reward, because he has to give half to the Zavulun, to the guy that's working and supporting him. So therefore, comes the Torah to Meramis, that's not the case. That it's you're giving half of a double shekel, what do you end up with? A full shekel. So Mele, even though you are sharing, quote-unquote, your schar with the person that's working, but in the end, you end up with a full shekel anyways. You end up with the full thing. Brings here what Rav Yeruchim Mimir said, that once Rav Naftali Amsterdam Zatzal, he saw these two guys talking, and one of them said to his friend, I'll do this such and such a thing for you if you give me a portion of your Olam Haba. So the person said, no, forget it, I'm not going to do this thing for you, I'll give you a portion of Olam Haba, forget it, I'm not giving a portion of my Olam Haba to you. So Rav Tali Amsterdam said, the guy's a fool. Why? Because what's the big deal? He can give a portion of his Olam Haba. He's not going to lose anything. Says, say it over here, but they say, they bring the mashal, what is it like? It's like into a candle. You have a candle, it's lit, you have a flame, and somebody else takes another candle, lights it from it. So the first candle, does he lose anything? Does the candle have any less fire? Because this other candle's lit from it? No, it's the same, full flame. Same idea. Also, the pasuk says, "Smach zvulun b'tzeisecha v'yisachar ba'olecha." So happy is zvulun in when he goes out to work, and yisachar in the tents when he's in the base medrash. So he says, "I can hear that zvulun's happy, yeah, because he's working and then he's getting a chelak in olam haba because he's supporting yisachar. But why should yisachar be happy? He's losing half of his schar." There it says, no, he's not. He ends up with the full schar anyways. So therefore, it's not only Smach Zvulun, it's also Yisachar. Yisachar is also happy. Says, brings here Chafetz Chaim, Sefer Shem Olam, Chelek Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, that Chafetz Chaim says, I once heard of this Gadol Hador, that when he was on his deathbed, his wife asked him if he can, you know, maybe give a, you know, chelek of his Torah, learning his Olam Haba, whatever, to her, you know, because she helped him out in his, you know, learning in his lifetime. So he answered, he said to his wife, you don't have to ask me that. He said, listen, may you mamish help me, and if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be able to learn what I did and do mitzvahs as I was doing in my lifetime. And he gave the following mashal. He says, let's say you say that this guy Plony, he's a rich man, right? This guy's a rich man. Now, would somebody say, oh, and what about his wife? His wife. He's a rich man. His wife's also rich. He's his wife, right? You know, and what about his wife? Or the opposite. The guy's a poor guy. Oh, he's such a poor, poverty-stricken guy. Well, yeah, and how about his wife? His wife, if he's poor, his wife's poor. If he's rich, his wife is rich. It goes together. So he said the same thing. He told his wife, if you help me out, so we're one. We're a team, right? If I'm rich in Olam Haba, so you're rich in Olam Haba. If I'm poor, you're poor. It goes together. So therefore, if a husband is rich, it's not like he has half and she has half. They both have everything. So he says the same thing here. somebody who supports Torah, they both have everything. Brings here a cute maisa that happened of Galinsky himself. He says once he was Rosh Chodesh Elul, and he was asked to speak in a city called Maskeres Batya, and it's near Rehovot. So on the way, his driver said, "Oh, you know, over nearby is Yavne." So he says, "Maybe I would mind if I take a little detour before we go to Maskeres Batya. If you can go, I want to take you to shul over here in Yavne. I want to show you what's going on over there." So we made like a night kolo type thing for Balabatim, you know, guys who work all day, and from 5 o'clock till 8 o'clock, they come and learn every day from 5 till 8. They work all day and then they come and learn from 5 to 8. And I want to show you. So I said, okay. So it took him there, and he couldn't believe it. The place was filled. A whole bunch of Balabatim all sitting and learning after a hard day's work. So Rav Galinsky gave a little schmooze of chizuk while he was there. He gave a couple minutes words of chizuk. And then he was about to leave. He was in a little bit of a rush because he had to get and go to where he was speaking. But one of the Balabatim ran up to him and says, "Oh, Rebbe, Rebbe, please, please, can I need help. Can you please?" So he says, "I'm in a little bit of a rush, but okay, I have, 1 minute, fine." So he takes him aside. He says, "Listen, I have a problem." He says, "I work in the diamond industry, whatever, and I work the whole day. I come home, at 4 o'clock, and I quickly, take a bite to eat or whatever, and then I run off over here to the, to learn. So what happens? My wife, she comes says to me, 'This is not fair. You leave me alone the whole day with the kids or whatever, and then finally you come home, you just grab a bite to eat your dinner, and when right in the sea, in the most high pressure time of the day, dinner time, when I have to give the kids to eat and bathe them or whatever and put them to sleep or whatever, and you just run off and have a good time in your kolo, it's not fair. I need your help. You can't do this, whatever." So he said, "Rebbe, what should I do? What should I say? I feel terrible. I feel guilty. I don't know what to do." So Galinsky said, "Listen, I'm in a big rush, but first aid, Ezra Rishonah, I'll just tell you, I'll give you a little bit of advice. First aid, because I don't have time to get into all the details, but..." So he said, "Yeah, anything, Rebbe, please help me." So he says, "Okay," he says, "here's what you do." He says, "You come home tonight and tell your wife that... The company you're working for, they decided to open up a branch in Ashdod, and they need a worker like yourself to work an evening shift from 5 till 7:30, and you can of course get an extra salary, extra hours, and they asked you if you could please work. Now, if your wife tells you, 'No, forget it, I don't care the money, you got to be here, you got to help me,' says, then stay home. Stay home. However, if your wife says, 'Oh, yeah, extra money for the chagim is coming up. Well, oh, wonderful. Yeah, why don't you take the job?' He says, then say, 'Fine, and come here and learn.'" She says, "But Rebbe," says, "isn't that like lying?" So he says, "It's not exactly lying. It's like half truth." He says, "Lamaisa, you are, involved with diamonds. Every single word that you say of Torah is a diamond. So it's not 100% of a lie." Okay, fine. So he ran out to where he's speaking. In the Seir Simei Tshuva, he had to speak in the area, and he remembered this guy, and the thing is, he says, he asked the driver, "Stop, go into Yavne again, I want to see what's going on with this guy, curious, so this was in like Chol HaMoed Sukkos or whatever, so he comes to the thing, and sort of walks in, people are learning there, whatever, and sure enough, the guy jumps up when he sees Rebbe Galinsky, runs over and goes, "Oh, thank you so much, Rebbe, for the Eitzah." So he says, "Oh yeah, what happened?" So he said, "Well, I told my wife what you said, I should say, they're opening this branch and that, extra hours, extra money, whatever." And she said, "Yeah, great, take the job, whatever. So I came here to learn, whatever." Fine, so time went on a little bit, this was the beginning of Elul, and then came towards Rosh Hashanah, and my wife says, "So where's the extra money?" Where's the extra money? So I told her, "Listen, the payment is not now. The payment is, we're going to get, is put away for us for Olam HaEmes, right? Because every word of Torah is like a diamond." Well, when she heard this, she says, "You know what? I see it means so much to you." He says, "Okay, you can stay and learn." So, Baruch Hashem. So I told him, so now you can go tell your wife that if she's willing to stay home and take care of the children, whatever, and allow you to learn, so it's like she has a extra salary and you have an extra salary. It's like you're coming going to the next world with two extra salaries to your credit. Okay. By the Chete Egel, we get a Bir Hashem, a Moshe, Lech Reid, Hashem told Moshe, quick, go down the mountain. They went off the track, the people, and it says Saruma her mina derech asher tzivisim. They quickly went away from the derech that I commanded them, and they made an egel masecha. They bowed down to it, etc. They offered to it. So he says that we see from here, from his medayik and the pasuk, that their main mistake over here was the suru meher. The saru meher, that they went quickly away. That was their problem. They acted in haste. In other words, of course, there was it was a very difficult matzav. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared, and they expected to come down, and according to the Chashbin, they're supposed to be down already, and they went to, they pashut panicked, right? Cause Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, that was their life. Who's going to take him out of the desert, bring him into Israel? Well, they needed Moshe Rabbeinu, so they panicked. Okay, but if they would have just been a little bit more patient and waited a little bit, enough to wait another year, a few hours, where the Moshe Rabbeinu would have come down. And the Moshe Rabbeinu would have come down, what would have happened? That would have been the end. Where it says, if the Luchos would not have been broken, it would have been no more Yetzer Hara, there'd be no more death, no more Shibud Malchios. Can you imagine? I mean, that would have been it. We've been final Geula. That would be it. No Yetzer Hara, no death. No, that would have been if Moshe hadn't broken the Luchos. So look at what they lost. Why? Because they were a little bit too hasty. Quick, let's do. If there's a little bit patient, don't get. It would have been made a whole difference. So we find the same thing. He says by the first thing with Adam and Chava. Right, the Nachash convinced Chava to eat from the fruit, the Eitz Hadas, and when did she eat it? That was the day that they were created, right? Yom Shishi, the same day they're created, they eat from the fruit. And the Tikkuni Zohar Chadash says that if they would have waited until the evening, the Eitz Hadas would have been mutter. Right? And Eitz Hadas was meant to be, they were allowed to eat it. Just that day they were not allowed to eat it. Meaning, this had to wait a little bit longer, and then that's it. They could have even eaten it. They want to eat today, they eat from the Eitz Hadas. Eat what you want. All they did was wait a little bit, and we know what the repercussions from that was. So he says, how do we have to deal with the Yetzer Hara? So he brings an anecdote from a person that was visiting Paris. So he goes to the boardwalk there, or whatever, and there's a kosher restaurant. So he goes into the restaurant, and it's like a fancy place, you know, and he looks at the prices, and it was a very, very fancy place, very, very high prices. But he saw, there was a sign there that said, eat today, right, and pay today, and tomorrow free. Tomorrow free. You know, you pay today, but tomorrow, you can eat tomorrow, and it's free, you know. Eat today, pay tomorrow, free. So he says, well, could I, you know, so he sits down, makes an order and eats today, he pays, but then he knows where he's coming back the next day, so he comes back to the same restaurant again, of course, the next day, and looks at the menu, makes another big order. So the waiter said, do you realize the prices over here? She says, yeah, of course I read the right prices. So he says, yeah, I know, but I ate here yesterday. And I see it says here, you know, pay today, free tomorrow. So the waiter said, yeah, no, but you don't understand. He says, this sign is here every day. Pay today, free tomorrow. So today you have to pay. I mean, you know, there's every day you have to pay, because there is no... Let's forget about tomorrow, because tomorrow will never come, right? Everything's there. So he said, that's the way you have to deal with the Yetzer Hara, right? The Yetzer Hara comes, he said, say to tomorrow, I'll do what you want me to do tomorrow. Leave me alone, just tomorrow, that's all, just leave me alone one day. And then tomorrow comes, and yeah, tomorrow. Just keep pushing on, until the Yetzer Hara leaves you. That's what you have to do. Brings the famous Maisa with the stipler, when he was in the Russian army. So came out that he had to do shmirah, he had to do guard duty on once on Friday night, Lel Shabbos. So it was in the winter, it was freezing, freezing cold, you can imagine the Russian winters. And in the middle of the night, whatever, came his shift. So you couldn't stand outside there, you know, it was like pikuach nefesh, you had to have very warm clothing. So they gave each guard a very big, thick, heavy woolen coat to keep you warm. So what happened was Stipler went out to do his duty and the shift, and the shomer before him, the guard before him, was a goy. When he finished the shift, a couple of minutes before, he took off the coat, and Stipler hadn't come yet, so he just hung it on the tree, and then he left. So now Stipler came, and he saw the coat hanging on the tree. As we know, it's an Issur Rabbanan, you're not allowed to use a tree. You can't take things, put things on trees, can't take things off trees, and the coat was hanging on the tree. I pikuach nefesh, though, okay, very nice, but without a coat, you know, it's pikuach nefesh. So, what did he do? He said, okay, you know, fine, pikuach nefesh, I can obviously take the coat, you know, it's only Issur Rabbanan, it's pikuach nefesh. He says, but I can last 5 minutes without the coat. No, 5 minutes, not going to kill me, 5 minutes, whatever. No, wait 5 minutes. So, he waited 5 minutes without the coat. And then, he said, well, I could probably wait another 5 minutes. So he waited another 5 minutes. And another 5 minutes, and not until the morning came. And the shift was over. That's how we have to deal with the Yetzer Hara. Push him off. The Saba Mikelm says, Kodesh Baruch Hu, he wanted to wipe out the Jewish people because of the ego. And it says in the Pasuk, because they're Am Keshe Oref. Right, they're stiff-necked people. And Moshe davened for them, etc. And Hashem said, okay, fine, I'll forgive them, but I'm not going to go be with them directly. I'm going to send an angel to be. Ki lo ele bikir becha, ki Am Keshe Oref ata. So, because still, they're an Am Keshe Oref. And don't forget, this is after already the Egel, after there was they destroyed the Egel and the people died, but Hashem said, I still can't go with them because they're Am Keshe Oref. So what does it say? That they mourned, the people mourned. And then again Hashem says to Moshe, Morel ben Israel, Atem Am Keshe Oref. So he says, I don't understand. What's pshat? I mean, the sinners of the Egel died. The people felt bad. They did tshuva. They mourned for the sin, whatever sin they had, the ones that remained alive. And so why are they still called a stiff-necked people? Why are they Am Keshe Oref? They did tshuva. So he says, we see from here that being a stiff, having a stiff neck is not kashur l'tshuva. Now, I mean, you can do all the tshuva, you can do everything good, act properly, do whatever, but you can still be, turn your back on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can still have this lack of connection between you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Like, turn your back on him. Be Am Keshe Oref. You do everything right, but there's something more than just doing everything right. There's having this close connection with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to be able to relate to him. And that's what they lacked. He brings here a Milsa de Bidichusa. There was once an Avreich, and he said that he tells his Chavrusa and Kolol, he says, you know what? He comes all excited. He says, last night I had a dream that a Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to me. I dreamt that a Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to me. So his Chavrusa said, don't get so excited about it. He says, why? He says, because you know what the Gemara says in Brachas, Daf Nun Hei, says, Ein Marim Ladam B'chalomo Ela Mihuru Elevo. What is what a person gets shown in the dream? Things about things that he thinks about during the day. You think about it in the day, and that's what you dream at night. It's things you think about during the day. So that's why you thought, that's why you had a dream about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu speaking to you. So he goes, that's ridiculous, that can't be. He says, when do I have time to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu? I don't think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I get up early, I go to Daven, you know, I come home from Davening, I wash, I eat, I bench, you know, and I'm running out to call. I have first Seder, I come home again, I take a little nap, and then I go out to second Seder, and I go to the night Seder, and when do I think about Hashem? I have no time to think. What are you telling me I was thinking about Hashem? So he says, it's shocking, he says, but that's basically the idea. You could do everything, you're davening, you're learning your thing, but this feeling, this connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you can do everything right, but lack that. That's the Am Keshe Oref. He says, similarly, There's a psik there, Mechilta, in Beshalach, that says that Kodesh Baruch Hu said, if I take the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael immediately after they left Mitzrayim, he said, they're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to right away get their plowshares and everything, and start working the land, whatever, and what's going to be with the Torah? Not going to be learning Torah. So therefore, Hashem says, I'm going to keep them in the Midbar for a while, and give them what they need, have taken care of them, give them the man, give them the bear, give them the water, everything taken care of, so they can just sit and learn while they're in the desert and become big Talmidei Chachamim before they go into Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, Rabbi Shimon says, Mikan haya Rabbi Shimon omer, lo nitna Torah ela le'ochlei haman. Right, that the Torah was given, that the Torah was given to those that eat man. They were supported by Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Midbar, and that's why they're given the man, so they could sit and learn. So that's what they did. And he says that he says it's a pella though, because we find another Gemara which doesn't fit in. Why? The Gemara says in Yoma that the students asked the same Rabbi Shimon, Shimon Bar Yochai, the same Rabbi Shimon who said the Torah was given for those that eat man. They asked Rabbi Shimon, why did Akash Baruch give the man every day? Why didn't he just give it once a year? I don't know, Rosh Hashanah, whatever. Here's your month supply for the year. And so, why did Hashem have to give it every day? So he says that Mashal and Madar Adom are famous. Mashal, he was once a king, and he had his only son. And he says if he gave him, you know, his parnassah, his mazonas, whatever, once a year. And he says he sees his kid once a year. Yeah, well, okay, Dad, where's the money? And then that's it. Doesn't see him the rest of the year. So he said, no, changing the plan. I give him every day. Every day, therefore he has to come every day, and then I have a kesher with him. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, same thing. If I would give the man once a year, when I have a kesher with Klal Yisrael? Once a year. They come together, oh, where's our man, right? Therefore, I'm not giving the man once a year, every day, meaning, here you have a family with a few kids or whatever, and they don't know, they finished their food supply for today, they know what's going to be tomorrow. So they have this connection to me, they're going to come to Hashem, I need the parnassah, whatever. And this is a daily thing, so therefore I have this connection. So he says, it's a pella. Why? Because what were they doing in the Midbar? The man was given so they can learn Torah. They're sitting and learning all day. So they needed this connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? What bigger connection do they have than sitting and learning all day? And being supported by the man, you know? So fine, give them the man once, and what? And they're going to eat the man and not know Kodesh Baruch Hu? They're sitting and learning. So more than that, he says, well, they were doing mitzvahs also, right? One of the mitzvahs is tefillah. So they were davening also. So they're learning all day, davening the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but Hashem had to give him the man every day, so you shouldn't forget Hashem. But what were they doing all day? It's basically like the joke we said before. You can sit and you can learn and you can do everything, but you can still not have the connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Here's the perfect raya. So he just brings that a little bit lamaisa. He says, so too with the person in his house, right, with his wife, right, I can fulfill all his obligations written in the ksuba, you know, mafarnes, whatever, give her what she needs, whatever, do everything right, but it's more than just following what it says in the book. You have to have this connection with your wife, and same thing with your kids. You can do, you know, send your kids to school, do whatever, buy them clothing, give them food, whatever. I did everything a good father's supposed to do. But it's more than that. It's not just doing what it says in the book. They have to feel this warmth, they feel this connection. If not, there's this Am Kashe Oref problem. Okay. Finally, back to the Chet HaEgel again. It says, after the Chet HaEgel, Kosh Baruch Hu wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. He says, Hanichali said to Moshe, Bichara Pivahem, I'm gonna wipe them out, etc. And it wasn't for Moshe that came in and stood and the daven for Klal Yisrael, that would have been the end of us. And then the pasuk says, "Ubiyom pakti pakadati alehem chatatzam." That Chazal tei, there's no puranus that come in the world that doesn't have a little bit of the ched egel. In other words, every time we're punished, in that punishment we're being punished for what we did plus a little bit of the ched egel. Every sin is. So he brings the Torah Chaim Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Beis that says that we know the Kosh Baruch Hu only punishes children, Poked Amon avos albanim, only if oxim masay yedeim, their whole day they do what they're following along those lines of the parents. If they don't do the sins of the parents, they're not going to be punished. But if they follow along with their parents, so then they also get some of that punishment. So therefore, he says the fact that we're getting the punishment of the eagle, it must mean that we're also doing a little bit of the eagle, you know. So the question is, what does that mean? What's this? How are we over on the eagle? So he explains it the following way. He says that what happened again in the eagle, as we said before, the people were panic stricken. They were in the midbar. You know, they're fine. They have to go into Eretz Yisrael. They're going. We're waiting there with their swords and to stay. So that was very scary. Staying in the midbar is of course a very scary thing. And but they had Moshe Rabbeinu, and here Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain and didn't know what it was going to be. And time came to come down. He didn't come down. So what happened? So the Satan caused them to be very, very scared, made things worse. It says that, Chazal tell us that the Satan made a Dmuta Moshe Rabbeinu, an image that looked like Moshe, was flying in the Shemaim on a bed, like a coffin, right? To show that Moshe Rabbeinu died, and it brought darkness and everything. So they said, oh, that's it, look, there's Moshe lying there in the coffin, he's dead, whatever. Oh, look, and then they went crazy. And what happened? Jonas and Yambrus. Who is Jonas and Yambrus? Anybody know? These are the children of Bilam. And they were the Chartume Paro, the astrologers of Paro. And they joined the heir of Rav. And so they said, okay, let's see, maybe we can do something here to help the situation. And they helped to make the eagle. And they made the eagle, says, okay, this eagle is going to help us get out of here, whatever, etc., etc., etc. So he says that fine. So what was the Klal Yisrael's fault? What was their problem? Okay, they saw, they were panic stricken, like we said. What do you want from them? Why were they punished? Someone's going to wipe them all out. It wasn't for Moshe Rabbeinu. Wipe for what? Lemaisa, they were scared. What did they do? What did they do so terribly wrong? So he answers from a Maisa at the Ponevich Rav tells over. It's also quite a famous Maisa at the Chafetz Chaim. He was, one point, Chafetz Chaim was very, very poor. He was sitting and learning. His wife, whatever, they made a little bit of money. And they couldn't afford normal food. So his wife, Chafetz Chaim's wife, used to go to the baker, and she couldn't afford to buy a loaf of bread, you know, way above their limits. So she used to, there used to be crumbs that, you know, fall on the floor, whatever, in the bakery. So the baker sold these little crumbs to her at a cheap price, and then she would take these crumbs home and make little matzo balls and whatever, like things that boiled them or whatever, and that's what they used to live off. That's what they used to eat. So one day the Chafetz Chaim comes home from learning, and she sees that he sees that his wife's crying. She's standing by the window, crying bitterly. So he says to her, "What's wrong? What's wrong? What are you crying about?" So she says, "I don't know what to do." He says, "What's wrong?" He says, "Well, as you know, I get these crumbs from the baker, and he charges me whatever, but we didn't have any money in the last little while, so I asked if I can, you know, take it on credit." So he said, "Fine." So he gave me a credit, and then I take a little bit more every day, again, and put it on credit. Anyway, so today I came, and he said, "Finished, no more. I was giving you until now on credit, no more credit. That's it, until you pay, I'm not going to give you any more crumbs." So she said, "So now you know why I'm crying? You know, nothing to eat today. And no, doesn't look like any hope in the future, you know, because we don't have any money. We're not going to have any much money tomorrow either. And we're not going to have any food. And what's going to be? And that's why I'm crying." So what did the Chafetz Chaim do? He smacked his fist on the table and he said, "Gira beinecha Satan," an arrow in the eye of the Satan. Says, "You want to take me away from learning?" He said, "Then you're not going to do it." He said, "Forget it. I don't care. I'll starve, but I'm not going to leave my learning. Forget it." So that's what the Chafetz Chaim said. So what happens? The next day, he comes home, and his wife has now a smile on her face. Says, "What happened?" Says, "The baker softened up. Right, I came there again today." He says, "Okay, fine, here, you can take some of the crumbs." He softened up. So she goes, "I know exactly why that happened. Why? Because listen, if it didn't help the Satan, you know, he tried to take my husband away from learning, and that didn't work. So what? So he's going to starve us for no reason? Just doing it, get my husband away. They're not going to work. So why starve us? So he says that. Listen, it says the Pana Brashman, he tells over the story. He says, you know, he says, what would we do in such a situation? You know, this kind of, we say, oh, maybe we can go to the baker and try to convince him, or how can we get more money, and how can we pay off the debt, or how can we, whatever. But we don't, you know, say, hey, it's the Satan. You know, let's get that Satan. You know, no, we don't look at the Satan. We look at the flour and the bakery and the baker, and instead of looking at the cause of things, which is really the Satan. So Meili says that was the sin of Klal Yisrael by the ego. He says what? Because yeah, they saw Moshe's coffin flying in the air, whatever. But their problem was they should have saw who put it there. It was the Satan. Right? If they would have saw the Satan, the Satan's just trying to get us. They would have saw the Satan, everything would have been different. He says, Mimela, he says, we said that every sin that we have, it'll take a little bit from the ego. So we're following along the footsteps of Bnei Yisrael did the ego. Well, how are we doing the ego? He says, because that's what every sin is. That we would zero in on the cause of the mixture. We see something and we end up doing this avera. Why? Because we don't zero in on the Satan who is making us do this avera. We should see, hey, why do I want to do it? Oh, the Satan's trying to make me do this. We would see the Satan, let's keep us away from there. So we end up doing the Vera, as we did. We're doing the same thing Bnei Israel did. They don't see the Satan who's behind the scenes. That's our job, to see the one that is putting us into these matzavim and say, Giri Beinecha Satan. Shrizoicha, too, in fact, get rid of the Satan, we see the day of the final Geula, the coming of Bias Tzidkenu, Yemhira V'Yameinu.